Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. In this week's programme, we hear from the senior Anglican chaplain in Athens to find out the latest situation for people living there and for the thousands of refugees and migrants who are arriving there every day. We also find out more about the Advent Sleep Out Challenge, which is raising money for the Church Urban Fund. But first this week...
I, Rachel, Lord Bishop of Gloucester, do swear by Almighty God... that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, her heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God.
The Church of England's first female bishop was introduced in the House of Lords. The Right Reverend Rachel Trewick, Bishop of Gloucester, was cheered by the House as she took her seat. She was accompanied by the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Bishop of London. In a day of ceremony and much media interest, I spoke to her before her official introduction. I asked her how she was feeling.
Excited, also quite nervous. I think the historic significance is just beginning to sink in at the moment.
And it's a big day to be here today with everything that's going on.
It is. What a day to be arriving on the day that they're discussing tax credits. But, you know, on the other hand, that's really good to be arriving on a day when something's really happening here.
Is it something that you feel that the bishops should be involved in debates like this?
Definitely. I think if what we're saying, which I am saying, is that politics is about people's lives, as a follower of Christ, we are here to share the hope and love of Christ with all people and to be talking about the welfare and the well-being of all people, then absolutely bishops need to be speaking out on these issues.
How do you see your work between the diocese and the Lords sort of feeding into each other?
I think they have to be completely connected for me in order for this to make sense. So bishops have that unique role, I think, of being involved with people's lives across the whole spectrum of life. Every blade of grass, every inch of concrete falls within a parish within the Church of England, and we're connecting with people of all faiths and no faith. And therefore, we are connecting with people from all different backgrounds, the whole social spectrum, with all different issues that are about people's hopes and needs in their lives. And therefore, I hope that in the Diocese of Gloucester, as I listen to people, as I connect with people, I will bring their hopes and needs into my work in the House here.
As the first female bishop, what do you think you will bring that will be different to the other bishops?
That's a really interesting question. People have asked me that a lot, and I start by saying that I can only be myself. I have been called by God to this role, and I need to be faithful to who God's called me to be. Having said that, as I reflect on what do women bring, I think one of the things women can bring, that is a generalisation, is I think women are quite good at doing connection and doing the big picture of saying, well, how does the discussion on this, on X, fit the discussion on Y, as we look at the whole realm of people's flourishing? How can we not just live in silos and discuss one agenda item and then move on to something else and not see how they're connected? So I hope that's something that I will ask curious questions about at times. I also hope that I will be very aware of issues that do affect women. That's not saying that men aren't either, but I hope that I'll be able to speak with real integrity on those issues as well.
Could you have imagined on your ordination day that you would be here today?
No, I think even a year ago, if you'd said to me I would one day be here, if you'd said to me I'd one day be a bishop and that one day be in the House of Lords, I would either have run a mile or fallen about laughing. But for me, it's about every step of the way being faithful to who God is calling me to be as a follower of Christ. And therefore, that's how I'm entering today.
And there are photos from the day on the Diocese of Gloucester's website, www.gloucester.anglican.org. You may remember a few weeks ago we spoke to the Anglican chaplain in Athens, the Reverend Canon Malcolm Bradshaw, about the situation for refugees passing through the city and country. Thousands of people are still arriving every day, and the Anglican Church in Greece is one of many organisations offering support. Martha Linden spoke to Canon Bradshaw for the latest update and started by asking him to describe the current situation for people living there.
The ordinary people in Greece are at present facing a very severe austerity programme. This is on top of 3 years of austerity within the country, whereby pensions have been cut, jobs have been lost, and at this particular moment in time, very few people have any financial reserve whatsoever. As a result, we are expecting to see hunger on the streets of Athens, which we've not known since the Civil War, after the Second World War, because people do not have money within their pockets to spend. If you go around the streets of Athens, you will find shops which are closed. You will find people are attending soup kitchens. 10,000 meals a day are given out by the Orthodox Church in the heart of Athens. There are food banks which have been set up by the Orthodox Church, of which I think there's probably about 3,000 parcels are now given out to large families. And then there are special food deliveries to schools which are impoverished. So this begins to say something about the situation which is facing ordinary people.
And into this rather desperate sounding situation of austerity in Greece, you described in August a very large number of refugees coming into the country. Can you describe what impact that has had?
The impact of the refugees on the country has largely been within on the islands which are nearest to Turkey. So probably about a month and a half ago, the island of Lesbos had 20,000 refugees upon it, and the total population of Lesbos is 27,000. That shows you something, the enormity of the problem. And even today, probably 1,500 migrants will be moving onto that island daily.
Has the refugee situation got better or worse since August? And what sort of conditions are the refugees enduring?
At the moment, I would say that the numbers of refugees that are entering are probably still increasing. If you're a Syrian, generally speaking, you're from a middle-class Syrian background and you have money and you're able to pay your way through. If you are from Iraq or Afghanistan, then the likelihood is you do not have money, but you are treated as economic migrants, so you have a second-class status, and they're the ones who are likely to get stranded in Greece.
Can you give an outline of how the Anglican Church in Greece has responded to this crisis?
The Anglican Church in Greece has attempted to try and get the story out through the diocese, and in fact it has had some sort of success on that, because what it's been able to put on the diocesan website was discovered by the Salvation Army, and the Salvation Army internationally declared Greece as an emergency zone, and so are now focusing upon Greece to provide finances. Also, chaplaincies throughout the dioceses of Europe have been very generous in the response that they've made, and also churches in the UK have been very generous in the response that they have made.
And finally, I just wanted to ask you about the letter signed by 84 bishops to the Prime Minister David Cameron, asking for the government to increase the number of Syrian refugees that it resettles into the UK, a minimum 50,000 over the next 5 years. I wondered what you made of that.
Well, whilst Britain was flapping around in respect to 3,000 migrants at Calais, there were 20,000 migrants on the island of Lesbos, and they come in every day. And I think that puts that into perspective. And if the British government is not going to make over 5 years, well, we've already had 60,000 migrants enter Greece in 9 months.
Finally this week, the Church Urban Fund is looking for volunteers to take part in the Advent Sleep Out Challenge. Jeremy Aspinall, the Director of Fundraising and Communications for CUF, explained what the challenge is.
The Advent Sleep Out Challenge is a really exciting initiative that is obviously based around Advent this year in 2015. And what we're doing is it's encouraging people all over this country to create their own little stable and sleep out for the night and raise money and show solidarity for all of those people who are disadvantaged and marginalised across the country. So The idea is that people get sponsored and for sleeping out, and we're inviting the people to participate in this to have a bit of fun as an evening. You know, it's not supposed to be really hardcore, that you are kind of directly experiencing all the hardship that a homeless person would be. But, you are giving up a night of comfort, and we're expecting already lots of churches have got getting behind this. And, it's for all ages. Youth groups are ideal, but adults are coming together as well. And having fun, doing some good, and helping marginalised people in this country.
So if you're a church or a youth group or a community group, how should you go about getting involved?
Okay, well, so we've created a website that has everything you need on it. It's called www.sleepoutchallenge.org.uk. I'll say that again, www.sleepoutchallenge.org.uk. And on there, you'll find what it's all about, a little video explaining how it works, all the details to get sponsorship, all that you could use and need for planning an event in your own church or your community hall.
And how many people do you hope will get involved?
Well, it would be great if every community there's a church in this country, and if every church in this country was showing solidarity with the marginalised. What a brilliant thing that would be in the lead up to Christmas, in getting ready to meet Christ, really embracing the story of a stable and Mary and Joseph, and kind of doing something positive. So we're trying to get every church in every community getting involved in this. And already we're seeing quite a lot of people. We've had about 100 people respond so far. And in some areas, in some cathedrals, there's going to be sleep outs. And, what a beacon of hope and light that is in the lead up to Christmas, and a statement in a city that churches and Christians are really taking the issue of marginalisation seriously and doing something positive about it. We hope that it's going to be fun and people are going to be able to do some good.
Jeremy Aspinall there, and you can find out more about the Sleep Out on the Church Urban Fund's website. That's www.cuf.org.uk. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.